This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall for this week's one championship. It's the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship and we'll get stuck in to that tournament in due course. But first of all, let's complete the formalities and it's a warm welcome to you, Mr. Dave Tindall.
Hello Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Just the one tournament, as you say, which seems a bit kind of like we're being shortchanged, but it's a good one though, isn't it?
It is.
I do like this week.
It is a very good event. Looking forward to it immensely. Before we get stuck into the championship, let's reflect on last week's Tour Championship and Jordan Spieth's almost inevitable waltz to the win on Sunday. It was never in doubt, was it? Once he had the lead going into Sunday and Stenson was his closest pursuer, I thought that it was inevitable that he was going to win.
Yeah, I was on the in-play and I kind of looked at it and thought, you know, if you've got to gun to the head, you've got to pick somebody. It's got to be Spieth, hasn't it? He just delivers so many times from this position. And he did it again. And there was talk, I mean, we had the chat, didn't we, about if Jason Day wins, is that player of the year in doubt? But it's like he almost knew Spieth and thought, right, I want to put a big exclamation mark on my season. I'm going to win this, walk off with a $10 million. Absolutely no doubt who's the year's number one.
I think it definitely gave him motivation.
Yeah, I think so.
Going into the championship, without a doubt. Made $22 million this season, Jordan Spieth. Won two major championships, went close in the other two, won the FedEx Cup with a win on Sunday. Now the question that's whirring round inside my mind is, can he replicate that success he's had this season next time around? That's the way with both bettors and golf fans. I think you tend not to stay in the moment. Instead, you ask, what's next, Dave? What's next for Jordan Spieth?
Well, I think before this year, though, that we were thinking, will this be like his difficult second season after doing seemingly so well the year before? And he just made a mockery of those thoughts, didn't he? It is hard to follow up a double major winning season. I looked at the stats once before, and it's very, very rare that a player can do that. McIlroy's never managed to sort of follow one good season with a brilliant one. Even Tiger struggled at times to sort of follow up good ones. Mickelson won all his majors kind of in kind of one a year, never really did two, and there were gaps here and there in other famous players' resumes. So if I was to guess now, I would say he won't win two or more next year. There's just too many good players around.
We could be set for the most amazing 2016.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing at the end of this year, you've arrived with the world number one being tossed around between three players. And when that happened before, it was a little bit, well, neither of them maybe felt quite worthy enough. It was kind of like Kiemer, Westwood, Donald. It was, you know, they all deserved it, obviously, but they didn't feel like they're true number ones.
Yes.
Any of these, McIlroy, Spieth and Day, have won so many, won in bunches that, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Really, golf in a healthy place.
I can't wait. Jason Day throwing his hat into the ring, as you've mentioned, at the end of the season. Rory McIlroy has already admitted that he doesn't like the feeling of inferiority. Spieth stands atop the mountain at the moment. Will there be one last hurrah for Mickelson or Woods? It's going to be a fascinating 2016. Looking forward. It starts in 3 weeks' time, doesn't it? Or 2 weeks' time or whatever. Not with the creme de la creme, but the PGA Tour season starts in earnest after the President's Cup next week.
Yeah, that's right. It's more of a chance, isn't it, for some of the lesser medium weight guys to maybe snare a win. Mm. But yeah, I think those three. Well, I guess they'll be playing in Australia again. I think Spieth's going to do that again, isn't he? And I'm sure they'll have a few little tussles together. President's Cup as well, isn't there, next week?
Looking forward to it. Let's get stuck into this week's event then, Mr. Tindall, because it's a good one. The Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, and we're betting 16-1 the field here with William Hill. Brandon Grace, Brooks Koepka, Danny Willett and Martin Kiemer, all 16-1. Shane Lowry is 20-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 28-1. Charles Schwartzel, 28-1. 33-1 for Jamie Donaldson, Luke Donald, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. It's an incredible amount of cash for the European Tour on offer this week.
$5 million.
It's amazing, isn't it? And something you've noted in your Roto World Golf piece, Dave, that it matches the Tour's flagship event, the BMW PGA Championship, which seems weird for a pro-am, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I can understand it's a lot more than kind of like you made in Denmark's and stuff like that. But yeah, to match that...
It doesn't seem right, does it, really? Piece,
yeah, a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Some of the rounds, with it being a pro-am, are painstakingly slow. Mm-hmm. You can get 6.5-hour rounds here, can't you? And because the courses are set up to be playable for the amateurs, scoring is always low in this championship. Every player in the field gets a crack at St Andrews, at King's Barnes and at Carnoustie before a 54-hole cut is made. And those that make it finish with 18 holes on the old course. King's Barnes, Dave, is historically the easiest of the three courses on the rota, while Carnoustie is the most difficult. And as ever, the weather is a factor on links golf courses.
Very much so. And when I looked at the forecast when I wrote my Roto World preview, the wind was pretty much a non-factor. It was kind of 8 miles an hour.
Yes.
But then I remembered back to the Open when we were told various weather forecasts and they were rubbish. So
you're taking that with a pinch of salt then?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I guess the temperature forecasts are going to be fairly realistic, and they're pretty mild, very sort of, not mild, but they're very quite chilly, aren't they?
Yes.
So I think that might go against some of them. You tend to sort of picture this event in your head and you see them lots of bobble caps on and lots of winter weather gear. But it's put me off a couple of them, maybe. Like someone like Schwartz, I always think he loves hot weather.
Yes.
And he gets a bit kind of, I mean, he looks about 5 stone wet through, doesn't he, anyway? In the best of times, so I don't think he'll like it. But yeah, I think if you look at who's won this event, a lot of GB and Ireland players have won it.
I think it's 11 of 14, isn't it? Or
and you kind of
like
think they're just, this is more their weather, isn't it?
Mm. Making a lot of birdies the way forward here as well. Aggressive golf will be rewarded on these golf courses. Short game has to be on song as well. Scrambling and putting gives you a chance here. And as we've mentioned ad nauseum on the podcast throughout the year, there's a lot of links form to draw on this season. You've got the Irish Open, the Scottish Open, the Open Championship, the Paul Laurie Match Play, and to a lesser extent the KLM Open as well. So a lot of interlinking links form for this championship.
I remember I used it the other way with the US Open with which one was it? I think it was not Chambers Bay,
Whistling Straits,
to sort of highlight the chances of Brandon Grace, because those two had been compared. Obviously, Brandon Grace, when he won this tournament, he shot 60, didn't he, at King's Barnes?
Yes.
And there were similarities, visually at least, with Whistling Straits. So, given that he did well there, you feel that cross-linking form can come back the other way and maybe he's going to go well again. I mean, he's one of the joint favourites. I suppose with him, he's been off the course for a little while, which slightly puts me off.
How have you played this from a betting perspective then? How many picks have you got?
Just
Dave?
Two.
Yeah, I've got two as well.
You look at who's won it, and it's lots of famous names. I think I counted up 11 of the 14 winners had been on a President's Cup team or a Ryder Cup team.
Right.
So you're looking at, you know, the cream, aren't you, really? Mm. And it is a strong front of the market, but shall I kick off?
Yeah, you kick off.
Yeah, it's fairly obvious. I thought he might be outright favourite, but the one I'm going for is Martin Kaymer.
Okay.
At 16-1. He's won this event before. He's been runner-up before. Lots of good play on links courses, and we saw it earlier this year when he was tied 12th at the Open Championship. Tied 7th and tied 12th in the last two Opens at St Andrews.
Yes.
Obviously, that franks that form, the event form itself. I mean, that's most of the way to picking him, but obviously the icing on the cake was he's playing well now, isn't he? He's had a better second half of the season after some troubles, and he should have won in Italy a couple of weeks ago, which is the only slight... Because he threw away the big lead, didn't he, in Abu Dhabi when he was 10 clear? Mm. I think he was 3 clear in Italy.
He should have won, shouldn't he? I mean, the bat nine that he put together.
Yeah, that's two tournaments he should have won, but... You know, he's Martin Kaymer, he's German, he doesn't let stuff bother him, does he? So I think he'll quickly put that behind him. I prefer to look at that Italy performance and see that he was first in greens in reg for that week, played lots and lots of good golf, and I think he's just knocking at the door for another win. It's pretty rare that Martin Kamen doesn't produce some sort of win during a season. I think this is his time. I think 16 to 1 is fair, to be honest.
I know what you've mentioned about the cream tending to rise to the top in this Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. My only, I suppose, counteracting point to that is we've seen some big prize winners of this event. Oliver Wilson last year, when David Howell won it, and when Michael Hoey won it, all triple figure prizes. And I'm going towards that end of the market for my first pick here. 125 to 1. I'm leading off with Raphael Jacquelin as my selection here at 125 to 1. I always think Jacquelin is worth a look on a links venue, and I thought he was overpriced. He's been in slightly indifferent form of late, but there were certainly signs last week in Germany that he was ready for a big week. Finished 24th in Germany and putted very well. That's his modus operandi, isn't it? His putter is what separates himself from the field when he wins. And all year long, he's produced his best when he's putted well. And I think if he can get in the groove this week, he'll make plenty of birdies on this golf course. Form in this event is patchy. He's had 6 top 25s in 14 starts, with miscuts sprinkled in between. But he's got a couple of top 5s in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. One of them way back in 2003, but the other one more recently in 2012. And his best finish this season came in the Scottish Open, when he finished runner-up, which augurs well. And last win on tour was in the 2013 Open de España. And that event was on a very exposed links-like venue. I think he'll give you a good run at a big price here, Raphael Jacquelin, this week, having just come back into a little bit of form last week. 125 to 1 for a strong putter and a guy with a good short game. Yeah, fair, I think.
He's just not someone I can ever catch, right? If I go in on him, he'll miss the cut, and if I leave him, he'll challenge. So I find him hard to call.
I think that's the case with Jacquelin, isn't it? I think he can spring a surprise every once in a while. I do like him on link style venues though. Yeah. He's my number one.
Yeah, good stuff. My other pick, I toyed with Nicholas Coulthard's.
Right.
He obviously fits that bill. He's a former Ryder Cup player. We saw him play really well the other week, didn't we? I just don't think he can string four rounds together.
That's the thing with him, isn't it? Because he played incredibly well in round one, and you're thinking,
he looks a world beater.
Kick on, he looks a world beater again, and then capitulated.
Yeah, so it was a bit of that. There was a bit of, maybe Thomas Peters has kicked his butt a bit, and then you think, I'm the best Belgian. But although I don't think he thinks that. I think he's on the green applauding him, wasn't he? So I think he's delighted the way Peters has kicked on, but I thought it might have a positive effect on his game, and it might still, but I just don't trust him. I mean, he is 100 to 1, so you can take a flyer on him, I guess, but he was close, but no cigar for me. So the one I've gone with is kind of an up-and-coming player. I wanted a little bit more, I would have to admit, but Eddie Pepperell.
Yes.
At 50 to 1, I think we've got him.
Yeah,
is
he is
right?
50 to 1.
Yeah. It's just that idea of links form. I mean, he's been great on the links, hasn't he, this year? Runner-up in the Irish Open, fourth in the Scottish Open, tied fifth in the KLM Open. So every time there's a links event, he's up there. Even in the Open, I followed him actually on that third day when he hit the front. On round three, he actually got to the top of the leaderboard and then fell away. But I remember all his fans, the Pepper Army, were all following him and he was playing out of his skin. I mean,
yes.
It's the first time he'd probably been in that position. It probably blew his mind a little bit, even though he's pretty much of a cool dude. But I think in this sort of event, just that plethora of sort of English players doing well, I think he can get right in the mix this week. Whether he can quite beat everyone, I'm not quite so sure, but I think he'll certainly give you a run for your money. And it's not like he's 20s or 25s, he's 50 to 1. Mm. So I think, 12 and a half to 1 on the each way element of that, I think that's okay for Eddie Pepperell. I just think he will have a good week. That's all I have to say about that. Unless he's got Jeanette Cranky on the bag or something, then I can't really see a hole.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you need to factor that in, don't you? You need to factor who these players are playing with.
Well, yeah.
I think
it's not Jeanette Cranky, is it?
I don't think so. I think it does make a...
Sometimes it's surprising, isn't it? Sometimes a sort of middling player's got like Bill Murray on the back.
Yeah.
So what?
And it was like that when Deer Points won, wasn't it? You'd think Bill Murray might have one of the feature players with him, but it didn't happen on that occasion. And if you get a very slow amateur and the rounds take forever, it can
it can really affect
a player that likes to play quickly.
The ones I can remember, Luke Donald tends to have Jamie Redknapp on the bag. I presume that's a long-standing thing.
Yeah. I've not seen the draws.
Padre Garrington normally has.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Desmond.
Yeah.
On his bag.
And Ernie else normally has his dad. I don't know if his dad's well enough.
Yeah,
but,
and McIlroy, when he plays, obviously has his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad was slow, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
And McIlroy is obviously one of the quickest players on tour.
Yeah.
And that inadvertently affected his chance, well, I believe anyway, so we'll... It's definitely worth noting the groupings and noting the draw as well, because if you get Kings Barnes on that calm day,
Does it tell you on the European Tour website who everybody gets?
Yes, I believe it does. I don't know if the draw has been made yet at the time of recording this, which is 3:30 on a Tuesday. I think the draw's usually on the Wednesday, isn't it?
Because there's 12 American players playing this week. I'm quite surprised some of them have come over, like Scott Piercy.
Yes.
Sean O'Hare, there's something, they don't normally come over. I did read a theory that obviously a lot of people look at Brooks Koepka and think, right, he's played some great golf. I saw a few things on Twitter saying, because him and Peter Uihlein are such big mates, they'll just be getting hammered in the pub all week. But I think that's a bit simplistic. I mean, they're both fine players. Uihlein's come back into form.
Yeah, that would be an interesting dynamic, particularly if they're paired together.
I mean,
they take this tournament seriously, wouldn't you?
Well, I think so. There's a big purse on offer, isn't there? They buy each other a speedboat, don't they, normally, if one of them wins? But Uihlein, runner-up in it a couple of years ago, and 18th last year, and then he played well in Italy. Of the two, he's definitely the value, isn't it? 50s rather than Koepka at 16s, who looks tired, you have to say.
But we'll come on to that, because Mike Grenham has emailed in a couple of picks.
Right, okay.
My second selection here is David Howell at 50-1. I didn't see him in your leading contenders piece, which sort of scared me, worried me slightly.
On a few years ago, I wrote a preview for this tournament, and I tipped second, third, and fourth.
Really?
I think it was all at like 100-1 or something. Uihlein, Tom Lewis and somebody else, and at one said I couldn't lose, and then David Howell beat them all to it, so I think I've got the hump with him. I'll try to write him out of history in this event.
He's only 50-1 this time. I think he was 125-1 when he won a couple of years ago, but as we've already mentioned on the podcast, players from the UK and Ireland have played very well here. He's had a great season, hasn't he, Howell, without getting his win, and from a personal perspective, his big loss was in the Open de España when I backed him, and that was an event which he had in his grasp, and he lost it. I think he made 6 on the last.
Yeah.
And it was a disastrous end to the event for him. He keeps producing, though, and I expect him to have a very good week this week. Loves this event. A host of top finishers here in the past. Inside the top 6 3 times in 4 years in the early noughties, and had an 8th place finish in 2010 before his win a couple of years ago. 2 performances in Scotland this year. I've seen him finish 10th in the Scottish Open, made the semis in the Paul Laurie match play, finished 12th in the KLM Open as well. So that's a good, strong bank of links form recently. His game built around scrambling and putting, ideal skill sets for the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. I believe if he'd made the cut last week and finished maybe top 20, David Howell, he'd be around about 33-1. Truly believe that in his 50s, so I think he's good value at 50-1.
I've just found that preview that I mentioned. It's interesting for the fact that Uihlein and Koepka were both 50-1 at the time.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And this time, was it 16s and 50s?
16s and 50s, yeah.
So, with Tom Lewis, 175s, he got placed. Tommy Fleetwood
at 40s. He's 125, by the way, this time.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood at 40s, this time he is.
It's 50s.
Yeah. So Koepka's the one who's kind of kicked on a lot, hasn't he?
He's not. He's ducked Tommy Fleetwood, because I know you can. I was looking around and
his form's
and,
gone.
Yeah, his form's gone. He's 33-1. Tommy Fleetwood. Mark had said really likes Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay.
And obviously he's got incredible course form. At the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, but has slightly lost his edge recently.
Yeah. So Uihlein then 50-1 as he was 2 years ago. Is that Mike's tip? Are you going to read them?
It is. Mike's tip. Mr. Grenham's tip here. Shane Lowry at 20-1. He likes Shane Lowry at 20-1. Basically, Mike thinks that Lowry, given how he's not played much golf because he missed out on the FedEx Cup Series, will be chomping at the bit at this time of the season. He's mentioned that on his Twitter account as well. Likes him at 20-1, and Peter Uihlein, the other one, at 50-1. His two selections.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with Uihlein there. For what I've said earlier, was runner-up and 18th last year, and played well in Italy as well. Mm. If you look at some of the driving accuracy stats of past winners here, they're just rubbish. They're like about 93rd. Wilson was last year. It absolutely doesn't seem to matter at all where you hit it.
Yes.
And Uihlein, that's been his problem this year. He's sprayed it all over the shot. I think Koepka's appearance here, well, clearly, look, there they were in it a couple of years ago. They weren't just sort of staggering out of pubs.
No, that's a fair point.
Probably inspired each other. Mm. So
I can see Uihlein going well at 50-1 as well. Which other players did you have in mind then here, Dave?
Yeah, Lowry, obviously, what's he come? Tied sixth and tied third the last 2 years, isn't it? I think he was gutted as well that he didn't make a bigger impression at the Open this year. I think he was really keen to do well there, but missed out. I do think Donald's got a great record in this event, 3 top tens in 4 appearances.
Yeah.
And he's not missed a cut since the Players' Championship. I know Luke Donald is a...
They've been middling finishers, though, haven't they? 20th to 40th.
Yeah, he's an under-the-radar kind of guy at the best of times, and some of his results have not quite registered. But I think he can bring it together this week, Luke Donald at 33-1. I think he'll have a good week. Other ones that I had a little look at, Matt Fitzpatrick, obviously, has a lot of
good form. We're just waiting, aren't we?
Yeah, a couple of thirds and a second. 33-1, it's about... It's money, isn't it? You're not getting too much value there. And I do think Willett as well, Danny Willett, just announced on Twitter he's going to become a father for the first time. That might inspire him.
Definitely.
A little bit further. And he's just played great golf this year, hasn't he? Obviously, quick return to St Andrews where he played so well in the Open, tied sixth. So it wouldn't surprise me if he fits the sort of...
He's the one I liked at the top of the market. I must admit, Danny Willett at 16-1. Others that I had on my mind, Tommy Fleetwood was one, but 33-1, definitely been ducked, and that recent form's a concern. But course form's fantastic, and I think he'll bounce back sooner rather than later. I had a little look at David Lingmuth.
He shot
that 29, and you look at his. I know he's gone off the boil slightly.
Well, I was going to say, he has Kevin Kistneritis.
Yeah, he has gone off the boil slightly. But there aren't many players in this field that could have done what he did in the middle of summer in America. And it's interesting to see him over. And Ross Fisher was the other one. He's 50-1. He's more than a fair links exponent, isn't he, Fisher? And even though his form has been poor recently, he did bounce back in a big way last week to finish inside the top 5 in the Porsche European Open. Scrambled and putted particularly well last week. Has a runner-up finish in this event. That was way back in 2008, though. The encouraging thing is that one of his best performances this season was the 7th place finish at the Scottish. Yeah. So I think he could go well at 50s as well.
Just get up the top American market. I had a little bit of a look at that as well.
Yeah, we have got a range of markets this week.
I thought there was a few kind of, dead ducks in the water there that aren't going to do much.
Koepka, if you want to take Koepka on this week, he takes a lot out of the market here at 13-8.
Pierce has played one open and shot in the 80s in one of his rounds. I can't see him doing anything. Lipsky, I'm not convinced this is the right thing. Perez, Stroud, Compton, Pettersson, Daly. I'd strike a line through most of them.
Do you like Uihlein then?
Well, I think Uihlein, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that might make a little run at him and stop him, possibly Sean O'Hare did play well at St Andrews. He's played 2 opens at St Andrews. I think he's come like 7th and 12th or something like that. Played well there. Sink was 20th in the this year's Open. Mm. But again, he's sort of someone who might finish like 33rd this week. So you can find someone who beats that.
I know you think highly of Olli Schneider-Jans as well, don't you?
Well, he played great, didn't he, in the Open. But he kind of run out of events to compete in, so he's coming here a little bit rusty. He could do, but it's not like he's 20-1 in that market. He's 10s. I think Uihlein. I mean, what are the each-way terms? A quarter, one, two, three?
Yes.
If you want to play it safe. I can't
see him out of the three.
No, I think he'll have a good week.
I won't clip this out if he bombs out completely. I won't clip this out for next week's podcast.
I think 6-1 is fair enough. By the way, Richie Ramsey, who I had a look at, he's pulled out, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has pulled out.
For anyone who was,
I'm glad he pulled out actually, because I've lost enough cash on Richie Ramsey the last few weeks, to be honest. Hopefully, he's all's well with him though. Yeah, Mike's picks: Shane Lowry, Peter Uihlein, players he didn't want to win. Thomas Peters at 40-1, and Scott Piercy at 66-1. A couple of guys that he likes. Obviously, he doesn't want to see Peters ever win again on tour, I think, Mike.
Till he's on.
Till he's on at 40-1. Who came closest to making the cut but just missed out for you, Mr. Tindall?
Danny Willett, I would have to say, at 16s. I guess I just wanted to pick one from that top end of the market, and Keimer was the one, definitely the one for me. But I think if Keimer suddenly pulled out tomorrow, I would reinvest that on Danny Willett.
Ross Fisher is the one for me, 50-1. He was the closest to making the cut. Let's recap the picks then. Dave, you're two for the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1.5 points each way.
Also known as 1.5 points.
What have I just said?
1.5 points each way.
Yeah, 1.5 points each way. I was trying to do it in sort of German. Martin Keimer at 16-1 and a point each way on
Eddie Pepperell.
Eddie Pepperell. I've run out of gas towards the end of this podcast.
We've gone refueling, don't you, here?
I'll brace myself for 25 minutes and went to 28 and I'm talking gibberish. Hopefully the tips will be better than what my words are.
50-1, Eddie Pepperell. Yep. I'm going with a couple here. Point each way on each. I'll play Raphael Jacquelin 125-1 and David Howell at 50-1. Mike will be back for podcasts in the future. You can check him out at M. Grenham on Twitter. And myself, I'm available at D. Kellner, and Dave Tindall at Dave Tindall Golf. Thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And you can get us on iTunes as well by subscribing to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Myself, Dave, and Mike back next week to do it all over again for the President's Cup. Look forward to speaking to you then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.